This is KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. Nearly 30 years ago, America met the Connor family.
Mother, this is very important. Our school's having a food drive for poor people.
Well, tell them to drive some of that food over here.
Mother.
Two cans, that's it.
Don't touch that cream corn.
Roseanne was a hit comedy about the struggles of a white working class family. It was unusual then. Now it feels even more relevant. Roseanne is back on ABC, and she's a Trump voter. Seattle TV critic Melanie McFarland just been writing about Roseanne and watching the new show. Welcome.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming. How is Roseanne 2018 different from Roseanne of the 90s?
Well, what you're saying about Roseanne being a Trump voter, Roseanne Barr is very famously and outspokenly a Trump voter.
Mm-hmm.
There is definitely an air of kind of a Trumpian view of the world and the view of where we are, which is to say the way that the characters have developed in the intervening decades is to these extremes. However, the vision that we have of America as it stands now is mostly personified in Roseanne and her sister Jackie, who's played by Laurie Metcalf. Jackie is, the first time we see her, she is wearing her pink hat. She has on a pink Nasty Woman shirt, and they're just at each other's throats. But the interesting thing is that Roseanne is the voice of reason. And we know that when she says that she is the Trump, she voted for Trump, it's because of the jobs. That's what she says. She voted because he promised better jobs. And that's kind of an interesting soft sell of that side of the political spectrum, I think. And you don't really see the wingnut side. And depending on how you see Roseanne's view. I mean, but she's presented as a centrist.
How does it work? How well does it all come together now?
I think
I don't necessarily. I don't know if I want people say, oh, I don't want politics in my football national anthem. You know, does America want politics in their Roseanne Barr revival?
Well, that's the question, right? I mean, enough people tuned in with enough of that nostalgic recollection of the original.
18 million
viewers. I mean, that's huge for any show on broadcast this year, this season.
This was 2 days ago.
Yeah. And actually in recent history, you know, 18 million for any broadcast show that isn't NCIS or The Big Bang Theory is pretty huge. You know, I think that it's one of those things where the politics is unavoidable. Part of that is that because of its star, there's a certain segment that's always going to conflate Roseanne Barr with Roseanne Connor. But also, if you look at what Roseanne the series is, it's the whole point of the series is to kind of speak to mainstream America, its concerns, the things that we have in common. And so I don't know whether this new series does that initially. I think I've seen 3 episodes. There's 9 in this season. I'm guessing that a pickup is inevitable, and I'm guessing that ABC will expand that order for the next season. But I would say that it really gets back to the heart of what the series was about, which is, you know, speaking to the concerns of Americans who have issues making ends meet. There's a lot of discussion about health care. That's actually a huge theme this season, and that takes on some interesting tones as it moving forward. But it's a lot about people who are just struggling to live at this point. And that's a lot of what the original series, the original episodes were about as well.
So jobs, health care, what other hot button issues 2018 is Roseanne dealing with?
So here's something that's interesting in past episodes, and I can't even say original because it's still an extension of the series. Past episodes, one of the things that Roseanne got a lot of credit for in the late 80s and 90s was taking on sexual orientation and bringing those issues into the Connor household and setting it around that kitchen table and actually, you know, making it personal. So if we're looking at politics, the original series actually covered a lot of politics, but it brought into the household. And I think that's one of those things where a lot of discussion now is the whole idea of we have part of that divide is that we don't look at how politics, we may take look on an issue, a social issue as a political issue until it comes into our household. One-on-one, I think there's a lot more acceptance than on the national level. And that's something that Roseanne is kind of looking at now without actually addressing it in a fundamental way like those original episodes did. So originally there was a lot about sexual orientation. Now there's a character, actually it's one of her grandkids, who is a boy who wears, on one episode, a sequin skirt to school. So there's questions about gender fluidity and gender identity. And Roseanne and Dan have issues dealing with it, but eventually they come around to an understanding a little bit, if not full-on acceptance.
Okay. So, yeah, an understanding can happen in the house among people who know one another, not just shouting on Twitter.
Right.
Well, there are other network TV sitcoms dealing with politics. There's an ABC show, Blackish. It centers on an upper-middle-class African-American family. They devoted an episode to the election.
You think I'm not sad that Hillary didn't win? That I'm not terrified about what Trump's about to do? I'm used to things not going my way. I'm sorry that you're not, and it's blowing your mind. So excuse me if I get a little offended because I didn't see all of this outrage when everything was happening to all of my people since we were stuffed on boats in chains.
Oh, how would you compare the Roseanne approach to something like that?
Well, funny you should ask that. So Roseanne actually has a black granddaughter now, and we know that. And we know how she feels about that because she has a friendly interaction with a black granddaughter, and that's it. When I watched it, I kept on thinking actually of a line from another favorite sitcom of mine called Ab Fab, where the character Idina Menzel was elated to know that her daughter was going to have a black granddaughter because she said, oh, that's the ultimate fashion accessory. And it seems like, and this is one of the issues that I have with this new Roseanne, there's a lot of this idea of, see, this is this blended family where we're covering all these things and we relate to all of these things, but it's never talked about in a fundamental way and never shown that there is any kind of issue that needs to be discussed unless it's the easy issue. And I wouldn't say necessarily that gender fluidity is something that's easy to talk about, but I also think that seeing that grappled, that issue of identity grappled with a one of her white grandchildren, it was probably easier for the writers to tackle than necessarily going into the politics of having a black girl as a grandchild. And again, we're only in the first three episodes. That may come up later. But again, this goes back to that whole idea of the whole Trump view of the world where, oh, it's not really worth talking about. It's not really worth addressing in a fundamental way. We're going to skip over this because there are other things to be worried about.
Talking with Seattle TV critic, she writes for Salon. This is Melanie McFarland. You, unlike me, you're not old enough to have seen All in the Family when it was live. Maybe you've seen the reruns, but I wonder how it compares with that because it had a liberal spin to it from Norman Lear. But I remember it as being popular across the board because liberals loved that Archie was getting his from Michael, but cultural conservatives loved Archie Bunker too, I think. So I wonder, who is this show for? Do you have to be somewhere on the political spectrum to enjoy this show, or how is it embraced?
So that's something that I don't have the answer to that question. I think I'll have a better answer once we're further into this 9-episode run. I think the difference with All in the Family is that you did have each of these sides. And again, this is the issue with Jackie being, in future episodes, she is this parody of she's a life coach and she has the answer to everything. And she's this parody of liberalism that you don't really see the other side of. However, and this is something that another critic pointed out, and it's important to mention, Sarah Gilbert is an executive producer on this series. Whitney Cummings is also one of the writers. So there are representatives in that writer's room that are definitely having an influence on the tone of the series.
These are progressive, well-known progressives.
Yes. And so, in these opening episodes, anytime that you see a first episode of any series, and really this is, even though it's an extension, it's really an introduction to a lot of people of what it is now. It's a calling card as establishing this is what the show is about, which is why the political overtones and particularly the divisiveness is kind of interesting. And it'll be interesting to see how that is sublimated through the rest of the series. But right now, as it stands, you have Roseanne and the title character really kind of looking at America. It's like, can't we be united in this vision where we don't have to talk about this stuff that divides us unless we absolutely have to. So, for instance, to go back to the son, they, the grandson, they had to talk about it because he was getting beaten up in school, or he was going to a new school and he was probably going to be a target for bullying. They were establishing that. So we can all agree that bullying is bad, right? So that was part of it. So these kinds of things, these issues that are coming, there's another issue coming up related to healthcare, and I won't go into it because it takes a major turn in the series. That again, this is something that's facing all of us. So it may be a little bit much to expect Roseanne to cover everything in these first few episodes. But in terms of what All in the Family was able to do, it's not quite there yet. And I don't know if it'll ever get there.
What other network show could come back as a revival? What's next?
Well, you know, so I'll tell you what actually is coming back. So CBS has done a bang-up job of bringing back brands. So you already have MacGyver back. You have Hawaii Five-0 back. Magnum P.I. is coming back.
Uh-huh.
So I think that those
Who
are...
Who was that guy with Tom the mustache? Selleck. Is it Tom Selleck is in it?
Oh, gosh, no. Oh,
okay.
No, he's already in Blue Bloods.
Oh.
So, I mean, that's the question. I mean, it's interesting. Earlier, I was talking to one of your producers about the fact that there's a deadline headline on the internet right now saying that Hollywood is soul searching. I was like, no, I don't know that they're soul searching. I think that there was a prediction that this was going to be at least a huge debut because Will and Grace has come back so successfully. The X-Files came back relatively successfully. People really want to see these old shows. There's an element of comfort and knowing what they're about. And particularly in this era where we have, you know, hundreds of shows debuting every year. So I think that to answer that question, there are any number of series that I think will be interesting to see come back. Another one that's coming that I'm very interested in seeing, Murphy Brown's going to be coming back with its original cast.
Candace Bergen.
Yes. Okay. So if you're looking at Roseanne, you're thinking, oh, my gosh, I can't take this. Maybe Murphy Brown will be your show.
Will she be a single grandmother, and will there be controversy around it?
Who knows?
Melanie McFarland, a TV critic for Salon. You also grew up here in the Northwest, and you just brought up basically the idea of comfort food TV.
Uh-huh.
We're about to talk about some food in Seattle, possibly comfort food. The discussion is about what Seattle's signature dish should be. Any thoughts? You want to chip anything into that?
Oh, my goodness.
You stick around and talk about it?
Sure, I can stick around and talk about it. I will say this, and I realize that this may be throwing down with some people. Seattleites, don't try and do Chicago pizza. I know that there is a place that is doing it. I haven't tried it yet, but I have been here for 20 years, and I've tasted certain versions of what is supposed to be Chicago pizza. And no, don't. Just don't.
Just don't.
Stop trying.
Okay.
Do it.
All right. A Seattle signature dish. We're gonna name it. Or maybe it's too late for one. We'll get into all that in just a moment. Melanie McFarland, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We'll get back to the record in a moment.